Live from Dominican University in San Rafael, California, it's Music Central with DJ King.
Everybody get high.
Welcome back to another episode of Music Central here on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ King here in the studio with me is DJ Wise, host of Musicology. And we got some good stuff for you here today on Music Central. We got a Led Zeppelin day. Only Led Zeppelin. Nothing else, because why would you need anything else? It's October 10th. And all right, let's get started. So now, listeners, last week I mentioned that Led Zeppelin in 2009 disbanded and said no to touring. And a new article came from Rolling Stone with some Led Zeppelin news. And it's still no. So inevitably, Celebration Day, the concert film from their 2007 reunion, has set off more reunion talk. At a London press conference announcing the film, Robert Plant raved about the O2 performance. To quote him, to get back in the middle of that music was a spectacular experience. But he and Jimmy evaded questions about additional shows. When asked if the movie marks the end of Led Zeppelin once and for all, John Paul Jones, who is busy writing an opera and collaborating with Robin Hitchcock and the Norwegian group Super Silent, responds, When I move house, I never look back at the house and go, oh, that's the last moment I'll see there. I just move forward. A wise choice. No point in milking the cow. Milking the cow dry. So who knows? I mean, if this tour could have happened, it could have led to a crappy new album. Chinese Democracy, Division Bell, Yours Truly. You know that Sublime album that they did with Rome? Any of those ring a bell? So they're going to say no to touring, and you'll probably not see Led Zeppelin live anymore, but we still have their music, and here on radio.dominican.edu we are playing Led Zeppelin tonight, so do not go anywhere. We got Led Zeppelin for you. Music Central.
When I read the news that it broke me, made me sad.
It's Music Central with DJ King.
All right, welcome back. I am DJ King here on Music Central. You were just hearing some Dire Maker and Houses of the Holy, Led Zeppelin here on radio.dominican.edu. One of them from Houses of the Holy, the album, and the other one from Physical Graffiti. So, Led Zeppelin, how did the biggest band in the world, or one of the biggest bands in the world of ever, become who they are and become, you know, legends in the music world? So, you know what, it begins with a little band called the Yardbirds in 1966. Jimmy Page, the main guitarist of Led Zeppelin, joined the blues-influenced rock band, the Yardbirds, to replace the bassist Paul Samuel Smith. Page soon switched from bass to lead guitar, creating a dual lead guitar lineup with Jeff Beck.
And
Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton.
And Eric Clapton. So at the time, it wasn't really considered a super band, but now I think I can...
I think we can safely say it's a super band.
It can be defined as much. Oh, yeah. And probably one of the first super bands ever.
Oh, yeah.
One of the first ones I know of.
Yeah. It was... I mean, they weren't all in their prime yet, but it was definitely... Now looking back, it was something that started all their careers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So following Jeff Beck's departure in 1966, the Yardbirds, tired from constant touring and recording, began to wind down. Their last album was in 1967. Page wanted to form a supergroup with him, Beck, on guitars, Jeff Beck, that is, and The Who's Keith Moon and John Entwistle on drum and bass. Vocalists Steve Winwood, who was in the Spencer Davis group in Traffic, and Steve Marriott, who was from Small Faces, were also considered for the project. The group never formed, although Page, Beck, and Moon did record a song together in 66 in a session that also included bassist keyboardist John Paul Jones. The Yardbirds played their final gig in July 1968 at the London College Technology in Bedfordshire. They were still committed to several concerts in Scandinavia, so drummer Jim McCarty and vocalist Keith Relf authorized Page and bassist Chris Dredja to use the Yardbirds' name to fulfill the band's obligations. Page and Dredja began putting up a new lineup. Page's first choice for lead singer was Terry Reid, but Reid declined the offer and suggested, you know it, Robert Plant, who was to later become one of the greatest singers of all time.
What year is this?
This was like 68.
Like 68, yeah. So he was like 19 at the time.
Damn, he was my age when he was
19.
He was my age.
His first album, I think he was 20 when he recorded the first Led Zeppelin, exactly.
To think that
we're here.
We're here and
they
my age. He was just starting Led Zeppelin, and at your age, he was already super famous.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't even grow our beards, though. So, I mean, we kind of had that on.
So Plant eventually accepted the position, recommending former Band of Joy drummer John Bonham. When Dredja dropped out of the project to become a photographer. And also took, if you get the Led Zeppelin LP or CD, and on the back cover, there's that picture of, you know, the four guys. He took that photo. John Paul Jones, at the suggestion of his wife, contacted Page about the vacant position. Having known Jones from his session days, Page agreed to let him join as the final member. The band completed the Scandinavian tour under the name The New Yardbirds, playing together for the first time in front of a live audience in Denmark on September 7th of 1968. Later that month, they began to record the first legendary album, Led Zeppelin 1, starting in 1968, and it was recorded and mixed in only 9 days, which is crazy because it has with so much sound and so much power to it, it's crazy that it was only in 9 days, and it's super raw.
It makes sense, though, because, I mean, they were all established musicians before they got into the studio.
And they didn't really have a lot of technical work that they really need to do or sound effects.
Exactly.
So it was kind of like putting their live set on record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had all worked in the studio, so, I mean, they...
Yeah, so they knew everything.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. Yeah. But it's still crazy. 9 days with editing, like, yeah.
Like, yeah, mixed, edited, recorded,
with all the booze and...
yeah, and all the girls.
And all the girls. How do you...
After the band's completion, the album's completion, the band were forced to change their name after Dredge issued a cease and desist letter stating that Page was only allowed to use the new Yardbirds moniker for the Scandinavian dates. One account of how the new band's name was chosen held that Moon and Entwistle had suggested that the supergroup with Page and Beck would go down like a lead balloon, a British idiom for disastrous results. The group dropped the A in lead at the suggestion of their manager, Peter Grant, so that those unfamiliar wouldn't call it lead. The word balloon was also changed to Zeppelin, and there you have it. We have Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
They started recording their first album in September of 68, released 12 days after New Year's in 1969. And you know what's funny about it?
What?
Led Zeppelin 1 is considered one of the greatest albums of all time, one of the greatest rock albums of all time, a pioneer in hard rock, metal music, the next big sensation after the Beatles, and Rolling Stone magazine gave it one star when it came out. We gave it one star.
Well, I mean, we can't listen to what everything Rolling Stone says, apparently.
Exactly, which... It's
who
so
didn't
funny.
Like that album. Yeah, who was the guy there just like, like no, I don't like
no.
it.
No.
He's like listening to like Rod Stewart like in his tight pants just like dancing with his flowy hair.
Like this is not Rod Stewart.
No. And that album was all it was all cover songs too, like Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You and
Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused was
Was it? I thought that was them.
No, actually it was taken from another song that was written around the 60s and they changed it up a bit.
Yeah. And the Yardbirds I think had a couple songs as well that Jimmy just kind of like adapted to the Zeppelin. And then Since I've Been Loving You and you know that whole jive.
Yeah. Since we're on the topic of it, what makes this album so great?
It was heavy. It was heavy, and like Jimmy
at the time.
Yeah, it was super heavy at the time. I mean, 69 was the Summer of Love, right? And
67 was Summer of
Love.
Right,
but, you're right. But 69 was like
Flower Power was still happening.
It was in full effect. I mean, you look at a lot of musicians back then; they were still getting really psychedelic.
Oh yeah.
Like acid rock was still in full force, and
Definitely. Jimmy was still doing it.
Jimmy was still on
the acid rock.
I think Electric Ladyland came out.
Exactly.
And I mean that was kind of a heavier album for him, but it was still
considered
very
psychedelic.
And there
are like minute songs of just noises and trippy sounds.
Exactly. Like a lot of it was still experimental progressive music, and the thing with Led Zeppelin was it kind of brought back that really heavy just sort of English sort of thing. I mean, it had kind of gotten to the point where rock and roll was getting more American, and Led Zeppelin came in and made it hard again.
What was great about it at the time is that, 67, Flower Power,
right.
Trippy music, the Stones and the Beatles,
exactly.
and everyone else
exactly.
were doing it.
68 and 69 were just...
68, 69 was kind of like the transition from psychedelic to back to basics.
Right.
And then I think that Led Zeppelin were the ones to you know, say, hey, this is going to happen.
Exactly. And you had Woodstock, like a year before?
Yeah, 69.
And it was... That in itself is still full force hippie movement. That's if anything. You got guys like
Jimmy. Excuse me. Jimi Hendrix was there, and
Jimi Hendrix, Sly and the Family Stone.
Santana was there, and he's a little.
He was at the time super like.
He was psychedelic slash like, but like Latino like Latin music. He combined a lot of
Cuban
jazz
sounds fusion sort of sounds to his music. A lot of jazz to his music in a sense,
but still had that 60s.
But just super, just
yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, the thing about Led Zeppelin 1 was that it was heavy, and when it came on, when you heard Dazed and Confused, when you watch that recording in 1969 in France, it's like people don't know what to do. Like they're just watching like with blank faces.
They're just like, "What is this
they're
music?
Like, what do we do? How do we dance to this?"
I was watching, when I was writing this script, I was watching a few Zeppelin videos around 68, 69, you know, like right before they got extremely famous.
Yeah.
And they used to, it was great. They would refuse to go on TV and not let their, and only have their fans see them live. They were like, no, our fans only have to hear us on record or live or nothing.
That's like a marketing, that was a marketing scheme by far that they were trying to like, be like, no, you have to come and pay for our stuff. Like, you can't, like...
Like, you can't see us on TV for free, so you gotta pay for our content.
Yeah, like...
Which, I mean...
I can't imagine what that would be like now, like, with, like, people with iPhones, like, Jimmy going up to everyone and punching their iPhone. Just like...
No.
No. You can't see me live.
The album Led Zeppelin 1 eventually peaked at number 10 on the Billboard chart, and on number 6 when it came out in the UK... Their second release proved to be more popular than their first, charting at number 1 in both the U.S. and the U.K. That is Led Zeppelin number 2. Just excellent album. And just,
you had
it. It was the sequel that people were looking for.
I think that's my favorite album.
Really?
I think if we're on the topic of Led Zeppelin 2, I want to come clean and I want to say, you know, Led Zeppelin 1 is great and 4 obviously is the
prime
heavy metal
quintessential,
like, you know,
Led
like
album.
Grandfather, you know. But two had it all for me. I don't
two
know
was
why.
Great. It had, for those of you who don't know, it had Whole Lot of Love, Ramble On, and Heartbreaker. Those were the hits. And Led Zeppelin 1 had Good Times, Bad Times, Communication Breakdown, Dazed and Confused, and Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Right.
Two amazing albums and one of the greatest rock albums ever made.
Yeah.
It
was versatile. It was like eclectic. You had like Livin' Lovin' and Ramble On, Heartbreaker, obviously. And then you had songs like...
You had songs like Thank You. You had, Moby Dick was on that.
Moby Dick was on that. It was right after Ramble On. You're right. I think.
That was a great song because...
What is and what should never be.
Because I think that really showed people that, we have the best drummer right now.
Yeah, that was...
Like, in all of music right now.
So many little 13-year-olds mess up that drum solo when they first tried.
Moby Dick.
I got it, Mom. Check me out.
Two great albums. And I was actually going to ask you, which one is better? And you said Led Zeppelin 2 is better.
Yeah, that's something that I've thought about for a while. And I love Led Zeppelin 1, but the fact that Led Zeppelin 2 is all mostly them, then that kind of like sort of seals the deal for me.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. They wrote most of their songs there. I have to say Led Zeppelin 1, though, is my favorite. That one is just like...
That's not like a big argument thing
like,
for me. That makes sense. Like, that's...
I just love that that one song that sounds, you know, that Indian sounding song, Black Mountain Slide. Communication Breakdown is just...
That's just...
Amazing.
That riff is it's just like perfect. It's anytime you want to hear a guitar riff, if you don't like guitar... Play the dun 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 dun. That's that'll get anyone going. If you
and hearing it live is amazing.
Oh yeah.
And if
and
you got
the solo is off the hook. Good times, bad times with the double bass drum.
If you listeners haven't heard or seen any Led Zeppelin, please go on YouTube and there's just dozens of clips of all of their concerts that they did, and as they got, and we're gonna talk about this later, as they got more famous, progressed through the 70s. They started going from, small little venues and banquet halls to full-on stadiums that would fit thousands and thousands of people. And there would even be riots, violence, just everything. Like, a typical classic rock and roll.
Hardcore rock and roll.
Like,
yeah.
If you want to imagine what the 70s like, the concert life, it was Led Zeppelin that was... Definitely the king to that. All right, so it's the bottom of the hour here on radio.dominica.edu. Let's do some news. All right, so news story number one. More Americans say that they don't identify with an organized religion, a trend that is growing among all segments of the population, a poll released Tuesday found. 1 in 5 American adults, or 19.6% of the population, are now religiously unaffiliated. Atheists and agnostics now make up 6% of the U.S. population. The number of unaffiliated is now at the highest point ever and has decreased 5% in the last 5 years, the poll found. Further, the 46 million Americans who no longer identify with a religion aren't looking to join a different one. Quote, overwhelmingly they, the non-affiliated, think that the religious organizations are too concerned with money and power, too focused on rules, and too involved in politics and politicians, the survey said. But a vast majority of those who describe themselves as religiously unaffiliated, 68%, still believe in God, the Pew poll found. The survey focuses on religious, Christians, Catholics, Protestants, and evangelical Protestants. Though people under 30 are the most likely to identify as unaffiliated, with 33% of them saying that they are not associated with a religion, the trend has expanded across all segments of the population. The religiously unaffiliated have also become an increasingly important segment of the electorate, the poll found. Some 60% of registered voters who are religiously unaffiliated are Democrats, the poll found. They are also far more likely to be socially liberal, with 73% saying that they support same-sex marriage and 72% who support a woman's right to abortion. News story number two. President Barack Obama has released a new campaign ad shining a spotlight on one of the biggest menaces facing America today. If you're Mitt Romney, Big Bird. The cheeky spot in response to the Republican nominee's declaration during the last week's presidential debate that he would cut funding from PBS. So who's the biggest menace? The 8-foot yellow bird on Sesame Street or the corporate tycoons on Wall Street? The producers of Sesame Street have asked the Obama campaign to take down the ad with a statement that reads, "We do not endorse candidates or participate in political campaigns." So if you haven't heard it and it's going to go down, here it is. Check it out.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Bernie Madoff, Ken Lay, Dennis Kozlowski, criminals, gluttons of greed, and the evil genius who towered over them? One man has the guts to speak his name.
Big Bird.
Big Bird.
Big Bird.
It's me, Big Bird.
Big, yellow, a menace to our economy. Mitt Romney knows it's not Wall Street you have to worry about. It's Sesame Street.
I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS.
Mitt Romney, taking on our enemies no matter where they nest.
All right, so that was the ad that the Obama campaign released. And I just think it's like, it's a little over the top, Obama. But hey, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And we'll see who wins this election. News story number three. The debates were last week and they were meh. Romney was prepared, energetic, excited, and getting a lot of praise from critics. But he lied, and then lied some more. But hey, at least he made it look like it was the truth. But you know what? Romney's performance was better than Obama's, but only if you throw out criteria like wasn't 100% full of crap from the opening bell and made an actual attempt to explain who he is and what his plans were. Unfortunately, that is good enough for our news media, which drools over the gamesmanship aspects of these debates because it loves candidates who sink their teeth into the horse race nonsense and they think validates their professional lives. For instance, in a local newspaper, the Star-Ledger in New Jersey, an analysis entitled "Romney's Debate Performance Was Presidential Game Changer," analysis say. The unnamed authors of this analysis delivered a blizzard of sports metaphors about Romney's performance. It's a new race for the White House. They said after Romney changed the game with an aggressive, confident performance, needed because Obama's forces had hinted earlier that all they needed from the debate was one good punch to knock out Romney. After the challenger spent the summer and early fall stumbling, you know, he did well. And most people are saying that, from the left and the right. But, hey, Obama was just disappointing that night. He didn't mention anything about Romney's lies that night. His 47% video, nothing. He didn't even look at him for one of his responses to the debate. So what are you doing, Mr. President? What are you up to? Are you just staying behind the sidelines, having Romney basically, you know, shoot himself in the foot? Who knows? Are you just being presidential? We'll just see what happens in November. And like I said, once again here on Music Central, please register to vote. Get your voice out. you know, and, you know, do it. This is a historical, you know, campaign that we're dealing with. And so please, it's your future. So here we are, Music Central playing Led Zeppelin here. Do not go anywhere. This is awesome.
Fight the
Zeppelin. How can you not even like that band? There's just... I can't even find a way, a disadvantage in that band.
You can't find something bad about them?
I can't find anything bad about them. Okay, their songs, incredible, you know, hard rock songs, great for any time. Their look, amazing guys, great guys. I think Led Zeppelin were typically great guys, right?
They were great guys.
Yeah, they were great guys. They were nice.
They were kind of humble.
Humble guys.
They weren't like Steve Miller going out and claiming to be the best thing ever today.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And they were awesome.
And they just wanted to have fun.
Look at Bonzo and John Paul, just two kind of quiet guys who just like to potty. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely. And they're just making... Just like them, okay, and then them live is just like a whole another thing. That could just be like another even, I think that might even be another show here, Led Zeppelin Live, because, you know, listening to these studio versions is just scratching the surface of their amazingness that they hold.
Yeah.
So, all right, so here we are, radio.dominican.edu, Music Central, DJ King, DJ Wise, Led Zeppelin Night. So, by their third album, Led Zeppelin reached new heights of commercial and critical success, that made them one of the most influential groups of the era. When tour venues becoming larger and larger, the group had a history of trashing hotel rooms and throwing TVs out the window. Did you know that they're banned from Tokyo Hilton?
What?
Yeah, they can't go over there.
They can't go back to Tokyo Hilton?
Nope.
No.
They are banned from there.
No.
I think one night they just partied way too hard in Japan.
Tokyo Hilton couldn't handle it.
They said, no, leave.
No. They had to have like ninjas come out and take him out. Go back to home. Go back to home.
Then came Led Zeppelin IV, their officially untitled fourth album and 12th best album, best selling album in history, topping Michael Jackson's Dangerous and even Sgt. Pepper by the Beatles. Amazing album. One of their incredible albums. That one had Stairway to Heaven, Black Dog, you just heard right now, Rock and Roll, Going to California, Misty Mountaintop, you know, all those songs. And it was hard rock, but it had a bit of folk. Going to California was all
it was pretty acoustic. Folky. Yeah.
Misty Mountaintop had a keyboard that was guiding the song. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of Stairway, there's a panpipe or a recorder actually.
Sort of renaissance-y, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little renaissance-y. So it was great because this is what I love in a band. I love when a band starts off well and then moves to different areas, but do it right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, they aren't trying to be like cool and different.
They're not trying to be too progressive. They're still sticking true to the roots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they went on tour, they were still playing, you know, Heartbreaker and Dazed and Confused all night long.
Right.
But, you know, behind them, they had these new songs that were pretty cool, like Going to California, Misty Mountaintop.
Yeah.
When the Levee Breaks was just, man. That drum, you know, that is used a lot in hip-hop songs, and it's...
Right.
As a sample, so, you know, there's some history on that.
And it showed Jimmy could use a slide.
Oh, really?
That's a hard thing to do, yeah.
A slide guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I think it was around this time that Jimmy started popping out, you know, that double-necked guitar.
The double-necker.
That was great. That was a good one. That was one of my favorite.
Was that a
Jimmy
double-neck
guitar.
SG? Yeah, I think it was.
It was red, too.
It was Mustang red.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mustang red.
It was.
Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven is one of the most played rock songs in FM radio history.
It should be the most played song ever.
One
Gangnam
of the most
Style
played.
Is beating us by like, I think 30 million views.
God. Didn't even like talk
well
about
played
that
Gangnam Style.
I just, God. To think about like the songs that are like we're topping. You know, this era, like 1970 versus 2012, is just beyond me.
I think we'll probably end up playing Stairway sometime tonight or a bit of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We always end a good Led Zeppelin night with the reason why you're here. And I just put like a pros and cons of the song, and I guarantee there's nothing There's no cons. It's good.
Cons. No, I found one con.
What's
con.
The con?
It's not. It needs to be longer.
Yeah, con. It ends.
It ends. Yeah. Yeah. Well, since we're on the topic of Stairway, what makes Stairway so good? I mean, here we have, arguably the best Led Zeppelin song ever made, one of the most played songs in history, one of the greatest songs in history, and a couple weeks ago we named it the greatest song of 1970. So, why though? Why is it so good?
Why is it the best?
Why is it the best?
It's like a three-part song, and it keeps building up, and then you get to it. You get to like the apex of it, if you don't mind me being weird. But it's three parts, and it's each part is its own thing, and it builds off of each part, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's great because, you know, there's just so many awesome parts, but so many like nice, you know, quiet parts. It's a nice build up, once you get there, it's totally worth it. You know, if you haven't heard the song, you know, I mean, I can't think of anyone who hasn't heard that song before. But you know, if you haven't heard it, it has this beautiful. You know, it starts off with this, you know, Robert's voice, a guitar, and a pan pipe. A recorder that I think was played by John Paul Jones. It has Robert, going over the song lyrics. It takes 4 minutes, around 4 minutes, for the drums to actually come in. Once that happens, the show, the song gets going. Then we have the famous guitar solo. In my opinion, the greatest guitar solo ever.
One of the best.
One of the best guitar solos ever made.
Number 31 on Rolling Stone magazine.
I just got a text from my brother, and he said, "You better play Stairway."
Yeah. All right. Calm down. We're gonna play it. Be easy, man.
It's early. So we had Robert Plant on vocals and tambourine, Jimmy Page on electric guitar and acoustic guitar, John Paul Jones on recorder, electric piano and bass guitar, and of course John Bonham on drums. Stairway to Heaven was voted number 3 in 2000 by VH1 on the list of the 100 greatest rock songs, and was placed at number 31 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of 500 greatest songs of all time. Except, in my opinion, should have been the top 10, but
should have been top 5.
Whatever, Rolling Stone, you gave Led Zeppelin a one star.
Yeah, so. they've never heard of. I think Gangnam Style. I think got one on the 500 greatest.
Yeah, right. It goes Gangnam Style.
Miley Cyrus, Gangnam Style.
Yeah, Gangnam Style.
Panic at the Disco, clearly. Closing
the goddamn door.
Come on.
That song.
Come on now.
In 1973, Led Zeppelin released House of the Holy. That album, which had Dire Maker on it, which you heard earlier in the program, was, of course, a huge success at Tampa Bay Studio in Florida. They played to 56,800 fans, breaking the record set by the Beatles at Shea Stadium in 1965 and grossed over $309,000. Three sold-out shows at Madison Square Garden in New York, which was filmed for their Song Remains the Same movie. And if you haven't seen it, actually, I haven't seen it, but I've seen a couple clips online. And
right.
It's kind of like a live action / concert movie. The Wall was almost going to be that by Pink Floyd, actually, but
they wanted to make it concept-y.
Yeah, they wanted to make it concept-y. But, you know, what's awesome about Led Zeppelin, that it's better, I think
it's better live with that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's better to see Zeppelin live.
We love Pink Floyd, but
there's a time and a place.
There's a time and a place for live. And, I think most of it is on YouTube. I think you can find most of that.
Yeah, I think you can probably find the entire concert on YouTube. If not, you can rent it on Netflix or whatnot.
It's
on Amazon and iTunes and whatnot. After releasing Physical Graffiti in 1975, the band took a break for a year. And here we're going to play one song from the next two albums, Physical Graffiti and Presence, radio.dominican.edu, Led Zeppelin. Let's do this. We'll be right back. All right, so here we are. Led Zeppelin, radio.dominican.edu, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Presence, The Rover, Physical Graffiti, 1975. So, if you were following our story of Led Zeppelin here on the radio program, they started off from Jimmy Page from the Yardbirds. Band quit, you know, needed a new band. So, let's get Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham, and let's rule this world. So, starting in 1969, they released Led Zeppelin 1 and 2, got super famous. 1970, they got even more famous, releasing those hits, releasing those albums. Amazing albums on the way, doing incredible concert tours, and making the guys basically one of the first heavy rock, you know, music stars of all time, becoming legends in real time. So, Led Zeppelin. After 1975, the band took a break for a year. Plant and his wife Marie were involved in a serious car crash while on holiday in Greece. Plant suffered a broken ankle and Marie was badly injured. A blood transfusion saved her life. In 1976, the band released Presence, which Nobody's Fault But Mine was on that, receiving mixed reviews. I've heard the album only like once or twice before. It's all right. But I think that, you know, I mean, it has Nobody's Fault But Mine, and that is awesome. And people are probably just expecting too much of the band. You know, they're still doing their thing, you know, rocking out. Jimmy Page even started using heroin while recording the album, so there's a thing.
There's something.
There's something right there.
There's a fact.
he was on heroin while recording the album, which is stupid,
probably wasn't a great idea.
Probably not a great idea, and not a great idea for you to do it. But hey, you know, they got an album out of it. In 1977, Led Zeppelin embarked on another major concert tour of North America, which I have a shirt of. The band set another attendance record with an audience of 76,229 people at their Pontiac Silverdome concert on April 30th. It was, according to Guinness Book of World Records, the largest concert attendance to that date for a single act show. After the July 23rd show at the Days of on the Green Festival at the Oakland Coliseum in Oakland, California, Bonham and members of the band's support staff were arrested after a member of promoter Bill Granham staff had been badly beaten during the band's performance. The following day's second Oakland concert was the band's final live appearance in the United States. 2 days after, the band checked in at the French Quarter Hotel for their July 30th performance at the Louisiana Superdome. Plant received news that his 5-year-old son, Karak, died from a stomach virus, which is really sad. He was only 5 years old, and he was a really beautiful child. I mean, look him up on Google Images. He had the curly blonde hair, just like his father. Completely heartbreaking story, but yeah, that happened in 1977. A French Quarter Hotel. I stayed at that hotel, actually, when I was in New Orleans. So, you know, that's pretty cool. The rest of the tour was immediately canceled, and there was a lot of speculation about the band's future at the time. In 1978, the band recorded In Through the Outdoor, their final studio album, and it was released in 1979. On September 24th, 1980, Bonham was picked up by Led Zeppelin assistant Rex King to attend rehearsals at Bray Studios. During the journey, Bonham asked to stop for breakfast. You know, let's stop for breakfast. So, what did he eat? What did John Bonham eat that day?
Beer.
He, vodka.
Oh,
he ate 450 milliliters or 15 ounces of straight vodka and a ham roll. Yeah. That's how John Bonham rolls. Great breakfast, by the way.
Yeah, very.
You know, I mean, you got
by
the
way,
vitamins and minerals right there.
Of all the
if you want to picture this, what you know, he downed that morning, 450 milliliters or 15 ounces is like a regular soda that you get at a gas station.
Right.
Sprite, 7-Up, whatever you
of
get.
Of vodka.
Yeah, and then, you know, replace that with vodka and a ham
roll. Exactly, yeah.
And you have John Bonham's breakfast. Breakfast of choice. So after taking a bite of that ham roll, he looked to his assistants and said, breakfast.
Really?
Like he was like, he was just like, the assistant was just looking at him downing this, you know, vodka and ham roll. And he was just like, what? It's breakfast.
He's like, aren't you guys going to have any?
Yeah. It's like, what, you want a bite?
He's completely sober. He's
so, you know, after drinking heavily, he arrived at the studio. The rehearsals were halted late that evening, and the band retired to Page's house at the old mill house in Clewer, Windsor. After midnight, Bonham had fallen asleep and was taken to bed, placed on his side. He was probably just so hammered that entire day.
Just hammered.
Just like, what, 10 in the morning, drinking vodka? Like, that much vodka? He had to have been just so drunk for 4 or 5 hours after that. Like,
4 or 5 days. Well,
yeah.
Most people.
It's just so much. Like, I was looking up, you know, how much he drank on Google Images. Just like such an insane amount.
It's just like, just.
And at 1:45 the next day, at the Benji Lafier, Led Zeppelin's new tour manager, not at the, but his name was Benji Lafier, and John Paul Jones found Bonham dead. The cause of his death was asphyxiation from vomit. And on December 4th, 1980, a press statement stated, we wish it to be known that the loss of our dead friend and the deep sense of the undivided harmony felt by ourselves and our manager have led us to decide that we could no longer tour as we were, and it was just simply signed Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Okay. All right, so, so yeah, so 1980...
That was the breakup.
That was the breakup. Led Zeppelin did the breakup happened, and Led Zeppelin just didn't tour anymore. And In Through the Outdoor was their last album.
Right.
And with that, we end the show with one final song here on the station, radio.dominican.edu. This was Music Central talking about Led Zeppelin. Enjoy. She's buying a stairway here. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts a feeling I get when I look Oh, man. One of the most played songs on FM radio, and you think that people would get tired of it. No. You can't get tired of Stairway to Heaven. Best Led Zeppelin song, debatable, but, you know, most people have been saying, and, you know, reviewers, critics say that Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven is definitely their best song, and in my opinion, definitely, and one of my best favorite songs back freshman year, but, you know, that song is just, oh, man, never gonna get tired of it. So, yeah, we've come to the end of our show here on Music Central, radio.dominican.edu. But hey, don't be sad. You can catch me next week here, same time, same place, radio.dominican.edu, 8 p.m. That's it for our show tonight. Thank you for tuning in, and have a good night.